Hello, hello, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, so, yeah, okay, we don't need to adjust volume, so. All right, we'll make it quick. Here we go. This is so weird. Peace Chapel family, I pray God's blessing on you as you faithfully worship God and you're giving to His kingdom today. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our year-long theme of relationships. It was and is God's idea that we have a relationship with Him and with others. God is passionate about His relationship with you and me. He's passionate about every area of our lives, our relationship with money, our relationship with the church, our relationship with the mission, and our relationship with the resurrection. We began a new sermon series titled Relationship with Hurry. As time marches on, our attention is for sale to the highest bidder. We have an attention span shorter than a goldfish. Back in 2007, the digital age began, and the internet is now in our pocket. We are not the customer anymore. We are the product. So what is all this distraction, addiction, and pace of life really doing to our souls? Busyness has become a full-blown addiction for most of us. Well, part one, we looked at the enemy of our soul. The focus was on the problem with hurry. If you remember, Martha is busy serving Jesus, and Mary, her sister, is sitting and listening to Jesus. And Martha asked Jesus, "Don't you care? Make Mary help me." Jesus didn't tell Martha to sit down, nor did He tell Mary to start helping. Mary was doing the only thing that is important. That was fellowship with Him. You see, hurry and love are incompatible. They don't go together. Hurry keeps us from that love, that joy, that peace that we all crave. Hurry keeps us from God by stealing our attention. Jesus is trying to grow love and joy and peace in the soil of our hearts. Hurry is the enemy of our soul, the enemy of our spiritual life. And last week we talked about this. Something is deeply wrong. We're infected with hurry sickness. And some of the symptoms of hurry sickness are irritability and hypersensitivity and restlessness and workaholism, which is nonstop activity, and emotional numbness and out-of-order priorities and lack of self-care and escapist behaviors, slippage of our spiritual disciplines, and even isolation. Hurry kills relationships. Love takes time. Hurry doesn't have it. Hurry kills joy. It kills gratitude. It kills appreciation. And it kills wisdom. You see, hurry kills all that we hold dear spiritually, health, in our marriage, family, our work, creativity, generosity, right? Jesus wisely asked two questions. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So church, what do we do? We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. And for last week's message or any sermons that you've missed, you can go to pcmorris.org/messages and check that out. Well, the truth is I waste an abundant amount of time, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, from scrolling on social media or binging on my favorite shows. I can waste hours of my day on literally nothing. And for all the busyness and the hurry that's in my life, most of it is my own fault. What would I do if I had 10 extra hours in my day, though, right? I think I would read more books, or maybe I'd go back to school, join, and even go to the gym, work at the church more, watch more sports, or binge watch, you know, a new series. You know, I read that the average guy spends 10,000 hours playing video games by age 21. 10,000 hours. It's also been said that in 10,000 hours, I could master any craft or become an expert in any field, from archaeology to zoology. In 10,000 hours, I could get a bachelor's and a master's degree. In 10,000 hours, I could memorize the entire New Testament. The average American spends 1,300 hours a year on social media. That's 2 hours and 24 minutes per day. The average American spends 730 hours watching TV per year. That's roughly 9 years of their life, if they were to live to 65. We've all said it out loud, and it's always in our thoughts, I wish I had more time. And at the same time, we all waste a lot of time. What if at the end of our lives and all the hurry and busyness of activity that somehow we missed the important things? John Mark Comer said this, how we spend our time is how we spend our lives. It's who we become or don't become. We're told to reach our full potential, to step out, to take risks and have faith, and chase our dreams and become the best version of ourselves. But what we're not told is to accept our limitations. You see, we live in a culture that cannot accept limitations but try to cheat time and space and to be like God. You know, read every new book, watch every new movie, listen to every podcast, listen to every new record, or go to every concert, or visit every, you know, as many parts of the world that we've never been to, or eat at every new restaurant, or earn new degrees, or win every award, or be an expert in every field, experience as much of life as we possibly can, right? YOLO and FOMO. You only live once. Or maybe you have the fear of missing out. Man, I'm exhausted just thinking about it all. But there is great news this morning. We can't do it all. We can't do it all. Repeat after me, I am human and I have limitations. I am human and I have limitations. You see, we're limited in our bodies. We can't be everywhere at all times. We're limited in our minds. We don't know what we don't know. We all miss things no matter how much we read or learn. We're limited in our giftings, right? And comparison just eats away at our joy. There will always be someone better at something than us. We're limited in our personalities and emotional wiring. We have only so much capacity, right? We can't be everything. We're limited in our family of origin. You know, none of us start out with a blank slate. You know, there could have been an absent father or generational poverty, or there's trauma or some kind of weaknesses. We're limited in our opportunities, even here in America. Some just have more opportunities than others. We're limited in our education, in our careers. You know, a low-paying, hard-on-the-body job limits what we can do, as well as a high-paying job, working insane hours just to stay on top. There are even seasons of life that have limitations. Going to college or raising young kids or caring for older parents, you know. When we were younger, we had no money, but we had time. And as we age, we have more money, but we have less or no time. We have limitations with that time, right? We just can't do it all. Scripture says our life is nothing more than a mist here today and gone tomorrow. And just as we're told that slow is bad and fast is good, limitations aren't all bad. We can't do, we can't be everything. That's okay. But the thing that we all have in common is time. It doesn't matter what our health is like or how much knowledge we have or how gifted we are or what our personality type is or what family we're from or what opportunities we have or what our job is or whatever season of life that we find ourselves in. Nobody has more than 24 hours in a day. We live with these limitations, and we can get angry about that. Why does there have to be limitations? It's not fair, God, as we angrily shout at him, right? Let me ask you a question. What if these limitations were a gift from God for our souls? What if these limitations were a gift from God for our souls? My sermon title this morning in our relationship with Hurry is The Way of Jesus, the way of Jesus. How do we slow down, simplify, and live deliberately in the middle of the chaos of the noisy, the fast-paced, the digital world that we call home? Well, the short answer is follow Jesus. The solution to an overbusy life or soul, it's not more time. It all goes back to the beginning, to the opening verses of Scripture, where it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." You see, we were made in the image and the likeness of God. God made humans to be like Himself. God made humanity in His own image. But we're also made from dust. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Image and dust, right? To be made in the image of God means that we have potential. The Creator God's DNA is in our very flesh. We're like God. We were created to image God's behavior, to rule like He does, to create a better world that for others to flourish. But we're also made from dirt. That means that we have limitations. We're not God. We're mortal, not immortal. We're finite, not infinite. Image and dust, potential and limitations. Are we okay with that? See, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, living into both our potential and our limitations. Well, Jesus has something to say about this hurry sickness epidemic. He was a rabbi, which is Hebrew for teacher. And if you were a first century Jew hearing Jesus teach in the temple one Sabbath morning, you would classify him as a rabbi, right? Jesus the rabbi had two things. First, he had a yoke, not a literal yoke. He wasn't a farmer. But a yoke was a common expression for a rabbi's way of teaching Scripture. But it was also his way of teaching on how to be human. His way to shoulder the weight of life, love and marriage and divorce and prayer and money and sex and conflict resolution and government, all of it. A literal yoke was put between two oxen yoked together to pull a cart or to plow a field. But Jesus was different than the other rabbis of his day. His yoke was an easy yoke. And secondly, Jesus had apprentices. We call them disciples, but maybe apprentices capture the idea stronger of one being under Jesus. To be an apprentice means, one, be with Jesus, two, become like Jesus, and three, do what Jesus would do if He were you. The goal of an apprentice was to model all of your life after Jesus. Modeling your life after Him was to recover your soul, to experience healing in the deepest parts of who you are, to experience what Jesus said in John 10:10, life to the full. The Greek word that we translate salvation is soteria, and it's the same word that we translate healing. Our English word for salvation comes from the Latin salve, which is an ointment to put on a burn or a wound. So you could say salvation is healing. And this is what Jesus was all about, healing people, saving them at the soul deep level. Well, how does Jesus do that? Well, through being a disciple or through being an apprentice to Him. He would often say, "Come, follow me. Come, be my disciple. Come and find healing as you follow me." He also said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, this is an invitation for all the tired, the burned out, the worn out, the overstressed, those filled with anxiety, for all those behind on their to-do list or needing another cup of coffee just to get through the day. Jesus' invitation is to take up His yoke, to travel through life at His side, learning from Him how to shoulder the weight of life with ease, to step out of the burnout society that we all live in and find a rest for our soul. Our tendency when we hear this invitation from Jesus is to think, "Well, I think I'm a follower of Jesus, but man, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm a little burnt out with religion. You know, what am I missing? Have you ever admired someone and wanted to be like them? Then you realize the lifestyle it took for them to be where they're at, right? You take professional basketball player Steph Curry, for example, the hours and times that he's in the gym practicing and practicing and practicing. You want to be the best at something, fill in the blank for you, but we're not willing to sacrifice or pay the price to get there. You read stories of Jesus and how he had joy. He demonstrated peace while under pressure. He always was intentional in every moment. He loved people with deep compassion. And you think, you know, I want to be like him. You want this easy yoke and this soul-deep rest that Jesus offers, but you and I are often not willing to adopt his lifestyle. Because in following Jesus, it is worth the cost. You give back more than you give up. But there is a cross to bear, and there is a death. It's dying to your old way, your old self. And just as there is an empty tomb, guess what? There is new life. Thomas, one of the apprentices of Jesus, asked a very good question about knowing the way. Jesus answered in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way of Jesus is just that. It's a way of life. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And maybe you have a vision of the kind of life that is possible in Jesus. You know, going to church and reading scripture and powerful prayer and dynamic fellowship with others. You long for emotional health and you long for a deep spiritual life. But then you go home and you try with all your might to live that out. But little or nothing changes. It's like doing the same thing over and over and expecting different outcomes. And the cycle repeats: stress, tiredness, distraction, hurry, stuck again. Stress, tiredness, distraction, hurry, and stuck again. This is what Jesus was saying when he said to come to him and he will give you rest. Take his yoke and learn from him, and you will find rest for your souls. That kind of sounds bizarre, you know, if you think about it, for this invitation to find rest for your souls by putting on a yoke. That doesn't make any sense, right? Yokes are used in farming for work, not for rest. Jesus doesn't offer you a vacation or a soft pillow for your soul. He offers a yoke, not an escape. So here's the secret of the easy yoke. Quote, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. I'll say it again. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. John Mark Comer. And to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus, his constant enjoyment of God's presence, just follow his way, take on his habits, take on his practices. And to do all those things, you must be an apprentice of Jesus. So number one, be with Jesus. The 12 disciples, these 12 apprentices, you know, they spent 3.5 years with Jesus, their rabbi. With Jesus, they went everywhere with him, walking to small villages. And they were in boats on the lakes, in the city, in different homes, on the mountainside, and in the temples and synagogues, you know, constantly with Jesus. Being with Jesus means following him and no one else. Following him as Savior and Lord of your life. Not just on Sunday when you're at church or when it's easy, or just following him when tragedy strikes or you need a miracle, but daily, moment by moment, walking in relationship with Jesus. Being with Jesus means listening to him, allowing the Good Shepherd to speak into your life, allowing Jesus to teach you the way to live in this world, and as you ask your difficult questions to him. Being with Jesus means to be yoked with him as you travel through life with all its hurts and wounds and traumas and fears and rejections. He is with you shouldering the weight of what you're going through. And Jesus reminds you that he is always with you, even to the end. So Jesus extends an invitation to come to him, to be with Jesus. Being an apprentice of Jesus means, number two, become like Jesus. Jesus was rarely in a hurry. Jesus never snapped at Martha because the food was cold or was half listening to you while he was texting on his iPhone. Or he never said, I'd love to heal your wound, but I've got a meeting to get to. You see, a synagogue leader named Jairus, he fell at Jesus' feet begging him to come to heal his little girl who was about to die. And as Jesus is heading to his home, a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched the hem of his garment and was instantly healed. Jesus stopped in no rush at all and ministered to this woman. And I'm sure Jairus was full of anxiety that his little girl is about to die. And Jesus is talking to this woman. I'm sure he's like, come on, come on, we got to hurry, come on. Jesus was absolutely present with whoever he was with. He was absolutely present with whoever he was with. And although Jesus was constantly interrupted, he never got upset. He never was agitated. He never was annoyed. Well, Jesus did go to Jairus' home, and he did heal his daughter. But Jesus has margin in his life. Margin is defined as the space between our load and our limits. Maybe you have no space between your load and limits, always in a hurry, always tired, or always stressed, or always burning out. Jesus is offering an invitation for you to bring your heavy burdens. You want to live the way of Jesus? Become like Jesus. Being an apprentice of Jesus means to, number three, do what Jesus would do. Jesus would often get up early and go off to a quiet place to be with his Father. You know, the disciples would wake up and he's gone. Jesus enjoyed meals with his disciples and friends, he enabling him to have such deep conversations with them. He practiced the Sabbath on a weekly basis, an entire day set aside for rest and to worship. Jesus lived free of discontent and distractions. Imagine that. Jesus lived an unhurried life where he made time with God and love for people his top priorities. In the 1990s, WWJD bracelets were pretty popular. What would Jesus do? And another way to ask that question is, how would Jesus live if he were me? You see, Jesus was never a dad or a mom, but what kind of parent would he be to my kids, right? I think he would spend a lot of time with them. How would Jesus do my job? What kind of student would Jesus be? How would Jesus treat people, my family, my friends? This is what it means to be an apprentice under Jesus. He was intentional with his time. He wasn't in a hurry. He was kind. He was patient. He forgave even those that were crucifying him. He loved the unlovable. You want to live the way of Jesus? Do what Jesus would do. Relationship with hurry. Hurry is the enemy of our soul and our spiritual life. How we spend our time is how we spend our lives. It's who we become or don't become. We can't do it all. We all have limitations. The way of Jesus. What does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus? Simply, we live the way Jesus lived, the way of Jesus. We take his life and teachings as our model and pattern, and we do life the way he did life. The invitation is for you and me to come to Jesus with all of our weariness and our heavy burdens, to take his yoke and to walk side by side with him, to learn from him because he is humble and gentle. What does Jesus give to us? Rest. Rest for our souls. Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Just as being in a hurry is the enemy of my soul, Jesus is also inviting me to live the way of Jesus. Spending time with Jesus every day, modeling my life after him, and as I go through life, doing and saying what Jesus would do and say. The goal of an apprentice is to model our lives after Jesus, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus would do. Jesus didn't live a hurried life. Jesus had margin in his life. He had priorities with his relationship with God and his deep love for people. We all know having an easy life is really a myth because life is difficult, period. The way of Jesus is to slow down and to simplify our lives around what really matters. In the Message paraphrase, it reads in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Church, Jesus offers you an invitation to come to him today. Those who are weary and burdened, he will give you rest. Yoke up with Jesus and learn from him and find rest for your souls. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our life. And today the solution is to an overbusy life or to an overbusy soul is not more time, but coming under Jesus as an apprentice. Let's pray.